UNISA Radio, the African voice. It's all about you.
We've got the people from the Directorate for Counseling, Career and Academic Development. Am I right today?
That's perfect.
Oh. I was practicing it though, and I was coming here. I was like, okay, DCCAD, not DCADD, you know, or something that was concording. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're well, thanks.
Okay, as usual, we have Liesel and we have Chipewa. And they're hanging out with us as they do every Wednesday. And today we're speaking about choosing a career. Yeah. Now, you know, it's very interesting that we're having this conversation. I just had a conversation with my mother, and she said to me, because my big plan was to become this great lawyer. And I was going to become, and I was going to help all the poor people, and I was going to become superwoman. And she was telling me, she's like, you know, it's so interesting that you didn't even tell us when you changed your mind. You just went on and studied something else. And I was thinking to myself, like, maybe a lot of parents go through this, eh? Your child says, I want to become an engineer, then they become a singer. You know, it must be very hard.
Not even parents. Think about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's different. I don't pay the fees. She yeah. does. So it's yeah.
But as much as we are talking about maybe the custodian of the fees, we also need to think about the student themselves, the process they have to go through. And, you know, when you are young, when you grow up, you know, you are like a metamorphosis process.
Yes.
When you pass your matric, when you get to the university. Because I like what you said, that you thought about yourself as a lawyer and you had this vision of this strong, powerful woman going to court. Mm. Possibly when you started studying, you realized, that's not me.
No. I mean, the vision was me. I could see myself walking into court. But the work, I was like, nah. Maybe not. Mm. So now, let's start basic at the basic level. Let's say I'm fresh out of matric. I'm coming to UNISA and I'm coming to you guys. I'm like, I don't know what to study. What's the first thing you'd ask me, Liesel?
Look, usually we start with what kind of vision do you have for yourself? Mm. So if you imagine yourself in 10, 15, you know, even beyond the 20 years time, you know, what do you see yourself doing? What do you think you will enjoy doing? So it's also linking to what do you like doing, what kind of things are you good at, you know, what kind of people would you want to work with. So there's a couple of questions that we would ask you to help you think about, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years, where would you like to be? Because as you then make choices about the qualifications that you want to do, it's important for you to link those qualifications or the type of jobs that you apply for to that kind of picture that you have for yourself in a couple of years' time. But at the same time, it's also important to remember that things change, and they could also change quite quickly. You know, you talked about law and then, you know, now being in radio, broadcasting. So you also need to be flexible in terms of acknowledging that somewhere along the line there would be things that influence you that will allow you to change your mind.
Now, I would say that it's important what you're saying, because I agree with you wholeheartedly. The reason why I think a career change is so important is because you spend so many of your years in it, you know? You know when you go to Home Affairs and you get, you know, remember, not even this era of Home Affairs, before, you know, all these angry people, you know, you're trying to get a service from them. But and I would actually, when I was in high school, I remember telling myself, like, I don't want to end up like this. I don't want to be in a career, and it pays me well, and it's fine. But I don't like it. And I spend 8 hours of my day there. And it's frustrating. You know, you end up taking it on the wrong people.
I agree with you. But also my view is that even if you then, for example, take a job that is not exactly what you want to do, you have to find something in there in terms of, for example, let's say you need to do waitering while you're studying so that, you know, you could pay for your studies. What is it that I can learn on this job? You know, what kind of connections could I make with people that will help me in the future?
Sure.
It's like, you know, choosing a career, it's a journey.
Okay.
And it's a journey that never ends. You could never say that I have arrived. Because with a career, we all, you know, when we are studying, you are like excited. Yeah, when I get my first job. When you get your first job, you realize, but I want to be the boss. So that by itself have got implication that, you know, because the boss is another career, and you need to again ask yourself, where am I now? My vision of becoming a director, what do I need to do to get there? So again, there is that circle which is continuous.
Now, I like what you say. You know, I think a lot of us, that's the other problem that we don't comprehend, that you cannot start and become the boss. I don't think anybody like Professor Mandla Makanya did not come out of nowhere and became a professor, and then, you know, they had to start somewhere. And I think that is also, I don't want to say the lie, but the disillusionment of us young people. You think you're going to get there and you're going to be the boss and you're going to be, you know, that one, and people are going to follow you. But then you have to start at the bottom. Now, do you guys offer psychometric tests?
We do. So as a rule, there are people that could do psychometric tests. But the kind of process that we used, we've actually, over the past 4 or 5 years, there's a booklet called My Choice at UNISA. And this book is provided to all students who apply to study at UNISA. The information is also available on the UNISA website. So in this book, there are a number of activities that people could work through that will help them to make an effective career choice. And that is actually the way that we work is, remember last time we spoke about in conversation with.
Mm.
So we like to have conversations with people about their careers. Sometimes it does involve psychometric testing, but it's actually in a very few cases if you look at the total number of people that we help every year.
Now, Chipewa, I want to know, with this information that you gave me, they say that your life goals must coincide with your career. Now, life goals are very vague, okay? When I was younger, when I was in primary, and you'd ask me, what do you want to become? I'd say, I want to become a bride. That's all I wanted to be. I didn't want to be, no, even the lawyer came at the end. It was, I wanted to be a bride, and it was just fine, you know? Whoever's going to marry me, it's fine, as long as I can wear a white dress there somewhere. How do you coincide your life goals if they're not career-orientated?
You see, we just spoke not so long that it's a journey.
Mm.
And Lisa also mentioned that, you know, also when you are planning with your career, things change. For example, I could be studying, then I got married, and my partner could say, you know, I want you to stay at home to take care of the kids. So I also need to think, how could I still be useful when I'm staying at home, what I've studied for my patient? Maybe then could I still volunteer? Could I still go to an NGO or to an old age home? So that fits with, you know, my role of being a full-time mom. But because I've got skills or I've got this qualification, I also want to contribute to the community. So there is no conflict there between my role as a mother and also my existence or my career.
All right, it's,
but things change, as we said.
Okay, it's 29 minutes to 2 on UNISA Radio. The African Voice was all about you. We're still speaking to Lizo and Chipewa, who are our resident, what can I call you? Resident psychologists.
Remember
conversationalists.
Oh, yeah. The resident conversationalists. You know, if you want to have a conversation about your life, you can call them up. Yeah. You know, you can call them up. They're very nice people. Yeah, so we're still speaking about how to choose a career. And off air, we're talking about a career being an investment, you know, and it just struck my mind, like, why do we always need to look at it as an investment, you know? Because investments, remember, brings returns, you know? So if you go to, it's like last night I was listening to another radio station and they were speaking about Lobola, and they were saying that the reason why people pay is because the parent has educated the child, and everybody was calling like, no, but how can you say that? When the parents are supposed to educate the child anyway? And they're like, no, it's a return of investment. I'm like, poor girls, hey? Poor me. My parents probably looking at me like, yeah, 50,000 right there. There's 50,000 walking around. Anyway, we're still speaking about how to choose a career. And we're speaking about life goals coinciding with your career. You know, and we, as Chipewa said, that it's actually a journey, you know. So you guys said that in the beginning that your career needs to go in with your lifestyle, your interests, and your skills. Now, lifestyle, interest, skills, let's say lifestyle, I like to party. Interests, I like books. Skills, I can comb hair and make people's hair nice. You see, how do you, when you that kind of a person, how do you bring everything together?
Look, how it usually works is that, you know, getting to know more about yourself in terms of what you enjoy doing, you know, what your values are, your skills and so on. These things give you clues in terms of what you could consider in terms of the world of work. So as you then start, you know, talking with people who are working, for example, or as you are reading about different kinds of jobs, you need to be able to, for example, if you now read a description about a hairdresser, you know, you would then read that this person also likes to, you know, do hair. They like to be creative in terms of how they style their hair and all those things. So immediately you would have kind of a connection with this hairdressing. And then you would need to do further research about, do these people who work in hairdressing salons also, you know, like to interact with people? Do they also like to read books? And that is basically the process that you go through in terms of either identifying more choices in terms of specific careers, or then narrowing down, you know, what is it that you think you would be able to do.
So speaking about how to choose a career, with Shipio and Liesl, our resident conversationalists. Yes, that's put it right there. Now, we were speaking about goals and interacting with your lives. Now, there's a sad phenomenon in this country. You can study, but it does not guarantee that you would go into the career, right? And I've seen people trying to be creative about that problem. So meaning, while they're still in varsity, they acquire other skills and get through, you know, how do we practically do that in our lives?
We will have also a discussion about employability skills. But when you are planning about the career, when you are doing research, it's also that you need to think about how broad are my options? What can I do with this qualification? But also, how do you prepare yourself before you even graduate? So now let's use a very practical example. You have done accounting one. Is there a way that you could be able to start developing some skills or putting this accounting one into application? Is there a crash in your area where you can go and say, you know, can I start practicing, you know, reconciling your books and looking at who's owing, what's happening, the tax and all that? In that way, you are also developing other skills to make yourself even more creative that, oh, it means even at the end, if I'm not getting a job, I can then work for few crashes, I will still bring an income. But in the process, can you imagine how your CV looks like at the end if you are doing other things? Everybody will be, I assume, would be interested at you because you have developed so many skills beyond your degree.
Because I would imagine that when you in this phase of being a student and you actually you do acquire skills, because when you pass in first year, what you have acquired, you can really use. Now, is there a way where you can sell your skill that you don't need to be employed? You know, is that a career-orientated decision? Because I would imagine I finish here, I'm a great writer, I think. I've got great communication skills. Can I sell this to someone? As a service?
Look, I think, you know, Chafiwa spoke now about that, you know, at every, like, year at least, while you're busy with your studies, you need to reflect on what are the skills that I have developed, because, you know, often people have this kind of mind view that I can't do anything until I graduate, for example. Mm. So even though you might not be able to identify paid opportunities, there is a lot of volunteer opportunities that you can make yourself available for. Also, an advantage of doing volunteer work or then, you know, like part-time work is that you're building up your network while you're busy studying. You know, people start noticing what you are able to do. So, you know, that will also help you then when you start looking for more full-time options after you've completed your studies.
But is that a viable way to go about it? Especially, I mean, we exist in an ODL situation. It's a great way to actually get a job, or even to network, and you could be doing other things besides what you're doing. And the labor market. We speak about the labor market. When I finish graduating and I go into the market, what sort of a, because you know, you let's say I become a lawyer, and then after being a lawyer, I need to progress. Now, is it advisable to do everything? Like, my other dream is to become an academic. So is it advisable for me to stay in school, finish everything, have a PhD, and then go work? Or you know, gradually go work and come back into academia at a later stage?
You see, it's never either or. Because remember, when you are applying for any position, most of the time they say qualification, then they say experience. So you could develop yourself academically. However, something that could hold you back could be the experience. So also an integrated academic is a person who have got both experience and as well as qualification in most of the fields, whether it's academic or in any other professional. So it's also important to think about, if I'm making a decision that I want to do my BA, then my honors, then my master's or my doctorate without work experience, I could imagine also your assumption will be that by the time I start working, I must be the head of department. Yet you know, you do not have the experience of how does it feel to work as a contract worker and all that. So remember, these are like developmental careers have got also developmental stages. So it's important also to think about that. I think one important key also with the labor market, a lot of graduates sometimes also get very frustrated because I have got a degree, why must I start on this position? You know, and to think, okay, you have the degree, but do you have the experience? You will get into the field to get somebody who have got the degree who have 10 years experience already doing the same work. So those are things what we need to realistically think about it.
Okay, now I like what you say, you know, that most graduates, I think we're all disillusioned. We think when we get out of here, I'm going to be head of department, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But we forget that this is a certificate, but we don't have the practical side of the job. I had a situation when someone told me that the other problems that companies face is that you come into a company, you can't photocopy, you can't do this. So there's got to be somebody who needs to sit there with you and actually teach you those things. So that is also time consuming because that person could be doing other work, but they're busy helping you. You know, it's logic that's beyond us. Now, guys, how do we get a contact of you guys? You want to ask more about this?
Look, the easiest is to send us an email. So it's counseling@unisa.ac.za.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also got a Twitter account that we're active on. So it's #UNISA careers and on our Facebook page.
So are you guys on Twitter? You too?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
No, like personal accounts.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
You don't look like Twitter people.
how do these people look like?
We will definitely surprise you when it comes to making ourselves to develop our career on the 21st century.
Okay.
We do all those things, Facebook, Twitter, and all that.
All right, guys, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Hope to see you next week.